Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Bing bong, bing bong, bing bing bong.
It's suggestible time, everybody.
It certainly is.
Hello, James. How are you?
Love life. How are you?
Oh, it's a lie. He's dead inside, guys. He's hit rock bottom this week.
Have I?
No, that's me.
Okay, I was going to say.
I'm just projecting.
I live down here, mate. I live in the filth of rock bottom.
You're like the troll that lives under the bridge in the Billy Goat Gruff story. Mm. And everyone's walking across the bridge and you're like, I want to eat you and then I'm going to live under the bridge again.
And people are like, excuse me? Like, sorry. I'm sorry. This really happened today, actually. That's why we bring it up. I hide under a local bridge and I come out. I'm like, rah! Patrol! Sorry, what?
And everyone's like up at the shops and you're like a 38-year-old man.
Yep.
Walking by and they're like, oh, it's the local troll.
Look at this guy.
And you're like, also, I'll just have some apples, please.
Just some apples, please, just some fruit. Thanks.
Also, I need a loaf of bread.
Oh, I need a loaf of bread,
If you dress as a troll, no judgment.
What are we doing this week?
Oh, yes. This is just for
God. On the show that we do.
First, I have to explain the show to listeners. This is your first episode. And if it is, I'm so sorry. This intro has been terrible.
Never apologize. That's my motto. As the local troll. Never apologize.
We have to distinguish as well. We don't mean troll as in online person that like insults everybody.
No.
We mean the green goblin-esque character. Are they green with big ears?
Generally green.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, enough of this troll nonsense. This is Suggestible Pod, a podcast where we recommend you things to watch, read, and listen to. I am Claire James here also. We are married, and that's about it. If you want something else.
Sure.
Turn off now.
Don't. We need every support, every piece of support that we can get.
Every goddamn listen.
And if you disappear, I will find where you live and I will hide under the bridge near your house. And when you come past, I will demand that you resubscribe to this podcast.
I just had this really funny idea of this like troll on holiday. And it's just you.
I'm in a Hawaiian shirt. I got a little briefcase or a little suitcase or whatever on wheels.
Taking yourself photos under all different bridges.
Yeah. Just not getting sun. Just sitting under a bridge.
Yeah, but in different locations.
Different locations.
Yeah.
Anyways, Claire, what are you suggesting this week on the show, Suggesting Bulls?
All right, I'm really excited. I've been waiting for this for a while.
Oh, my God, this book.
As you know, I am now on a campaign to get the partners of the people that listen to the show better presents.
I understand. Yeah.
Correct. So I'm suggesting things that I like as presents in the hope that maybe your partner is similar to me.
Can I just say this is unfair because that means that I can't get you these presents.
Oh, no, mostly they're things that I've already bought myself.
Okay,
or you've bought me.
So I'm at a massive disadvantage here is all I'm saying. But anyway, sorry, go on.
Keep your little trolley ears out. I'll be sending some recommendations for me that I haven't bought yet.
Okay. So, you know,
just keep it out. Keep a little spidey feelers out there like a little Spider-Man. Like your special video that came out this week that did not too shabby.
Oh, it's true, the Amazing Spider-Man. Yeah.
Everyone loves a Spider-Man.
It's true.
So everyone loves a man in Lycra.
It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have the legs for it. It's kind of like, it's not one of those things you just throw on, you know what I mean? But sorry, go on.
Do you need slim legs or muscular legs?
It's slim legs.
All right, you'd be fine then.
I'd be fine. Yeah, my legs would be fine, but the rest of me, I don't know whether it would work.
You look great in Lycra.
Let's talk
about this off show. All right, no, I'm joking. I'm joking, everyone. Calm down.
She's not joking.
Anyway. Can I tell you about my recommendation?
I'm interested. I'm very interested to hear
about this,
actually.
Okay, so listeners might be familiar with the author Leanne Moriarty.
Yes.
Now, she is Australian and super famous for, you know, every book she's ever written basically going a bit bonkers and bananas and everyone adores her writing. Mm-hmm. She is the author of things like Big Little Lies and Nine Perfect Strangers, both of which have been turned by Reese Witherspoon into like big blockbuster TV shows that everyone bloody loves. With Nicole Kidman. Exactly right. So I knew when a new Moriarty book was coming out that it would be right up my alley and I couldn't wait to get my hot little mitts on it.
And you knew it was big business.
I did. And look, it's a page turner. It's got the same kind of, you know, Moriarty never fail to like get you in with a like a family kind of mystery.
Sure.
Maybe there's a murder. Things kind of twist around. She's always really good at getting into the heads of her characters. And she also kind of draws you in what seems to be quite like a puffy sort of story at the beginning.
Yeah.
Often they're kind of suburban stories and you sort of are lulled into thinking, well, this seems a bit frothy and light, and boom, she gets you.
She gets you with social issues.
And this particular book, the first few chapters I was like, do I like this? I'm not sure.
I hope you hit her up in an email. Liam Moriarty, I'm a few chapters into your book and quite frankly it's very unimpressive.
No, but it does that thing where as you get into it, it suddenly grabs you by the horns and now all I want to do is sit by myself and read it.
Mm.
Take it everywhere with me because I'm like into that point in the book.
All I want to do is just sit by myself. That's it.
That's your goal in life.
Just quickly, we might have an afternoon to ourselves tomorrow without the kids. So one of your options was, what if we just drive somewhere and just sleep in the car? And I'm like, that sounds pretty good, actually. No. We'll sleep and put the seats back.
I was not even joking.
Put the seats back, you know what I mean, and then fall asleep in the car.
No, it was fall asleep in the car.
Is that a metaphor?
No, it wasn't like go put your spidey suit on and let's get busy.
Which, by the way, I just want to clarify, it's just not my thing at all. Like dressing up in a superhero outfit and just like any of that. It's just, I think it would ruin both things for me, if I'm honest. But anyway, sorry, go on.
That was like when, and it was a wonderful zine. There was that sponsor reached out to us that you declined for this very reason, who did Star Wars Cabaret, and they put on like sexy shows with like the costume designers
from the movies.
So amazing costume designers, but there would be like dancers dressed as like Boba Fett or dancers dressed as like Chewbacca. So they'd
sexy
be like
Chewbacca
sexy
or
Chewbaccas or whatever, sexy droids, and you were just like, no. I'm not into it. No, I can't look at it. And it was weird. You had this like visceral reaction. I feel like it's because you feel like if you saw it, those two worlds colliding, it just would do something to your brain.
Star Wars is like all those things that they're very non-sexual to me. And I know there is like a massive fan element that like.
What about Princess Leia in her golden bikini?
I don't know. It's just not. I've never seen it that way. I don't see any of it that way. It's a weird, dirty universe. Not in a good way.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean as in sandy like and uncomfortable?
Like a grimy, everyone's got a grimy spaceship and like a like a jumpsuit that's covered in oil. And I'm just like, I don't like this place. It sucks.
It's not for you.
Anyway, sorry, go on.
No, exactly.
There's a big slug sitting there and I'm like, that's pretty distracting. Like she's in the gold bikini, but there's a giant slug and he's just like, nah. Because that's all I'd be looking at. I'd be like, fuck, that guy's going to swap me with his tail. He's horrendous.
Is it because it seems stressful?
It's like, a very stressful universe.
Like
yes,
it
would
be quite stressful to get into some business.
No, like, no, I just Star Wars in general, it's like it's stressful and confusing, and it's like the units of measurement are strange, like it's like a parsec.
Why is that relevant?
Because it's like there's this thing about this is way off topic. There's this thing of like there's this passing line in the first Star Wars where Han Solo says something like. My ship did the Kessel Run in less than 9 parsecs. And a parsec in like in our world is like a measurement of like distance. But in the Star Wars universe, I'm like, so it did 9 parsecs in less than 9 measurements of distance? Like, what do you mean? What does that mean? And it's just, I don't like it. And like if you look at like a panel of a ship, there's no like display screens. It's just different colored buttons. And I'm like, what does any of this do? None of this is labeled. There's no screen. Like, it's very stressful.
So what you're saying is all of that stuff, while not sexual at all, also would get you out of the mood because you're too worried
it's
about measurements and buttons.
Like when they go to their ship and like the door opens of their ship, I'm like, you didn't even press anything. Like, how did it open? He doesn't have a key. Did he put his hand in his pockets and like, has he got like some kind of device on him that it registers when he's close? Can you just walk up to any ship? And when they go to like the cockpit, they don't put a key in. They just hit one of the buttons and it just like fires up and it's confusing.
So what you're saying is if Princess Leia, and I'm not in this universe, P.S. Princess Leia is there in a sexy bikini and she's like, ooh, James, let's go for it. And you're like, no, I'm busy. It's all very confusing.
Work out the ship.
I can't. Work out the ship, and she's like, yeah, but come on, it's quiet. You're covered
You're covered in like slug grease. I'm not interested.
This is not my thing. All right, good to know. Anyway. I don't know how we got there, but can we go back
anyway,
to
anyway, please, Leanne Moriarty. Leanne,
okay. So the book.
Stupid universe. So go on. So stupid.
Okay, I just find that so funny that like that's how your brain works.
Yeah, stressful.
Actually, you know what's quite interesting about this? I was listening to a podcast the other day that was talking about the barriers to sex for women, basically.
Okay, sure.
And one of them is exactly that. The mental
like the comfort,
load.
Like.
No, it's because that's why hotel rooms are better. Because for women, and this is such a big generalization, or for the partner who does the bulk of the domestic stuff, there is nothing less sexy than thinking about your dishes and the floor's dirty and you've got to apply that thing and you've got to clean the bathroom and like all of that stuff, which is why like a clean, calm room and someone doing the dishes is actually like foreplay for a lot of women.
So if you like went to the bedroom and like you whipped back the sheets and there was just a pile of dirty dishes in there, that for you would not be like appealing.
I thought you were genuinely going to say, and the sheets had been changed.
No,
and I would just fall over.
It's just a plate. It's like plates. And one of them's like chipped. So that like there is a chip in the bed somewhere, even if you took the plates out. There'd be just like a bit of ceramic in there that you roll onto. Anyway. So
anyway.
Leanne Moriarty.
I don't know how we got onto that. But that's a heads up. A Christmas present for anyone out there. Bloody do some chores and you never know what might happen.
Yeah.
All right. So. Leanne Moriarty writes this page turner. Now, it centers on a family called the Delaneys who were once the owners of a really successful like tennis coaching business, basically. Ooh. It's both run by former tennis coaches Joy and Stan, who are the married couple at the center. Now they've retired and they're kind of in their 60s. And from the outset, they seem like the perfect family. Now, there's four siblings who are now in their kind of 40s.
Okay.
And in the very beginning of the book, and this isn't a spoiler, Joy goes missing.
Right, right, okay.
So then it kind of starts to unfold, like the relationships between the siblings. Is everything as hunky-dory as it seems? They live in a lovely house, suburban house, you know, in New South Wales, in Sydney, and it just all seems very picturesque, except as you start to scratch the surface, you see there's a lot of tensions and their suspicion falls to Stan, her husband, and everyone is questioning why that is. And so the story is also written in a lot of different voices. So each chapter.
What do you mean, like perspectives as in?
As in like it's written like in the voice of, you know, one chapter might be.
Different characters.
Different
characters. I understand what you mean, yes.
Yeah. So it might be written in the from the perspective of Joy herself. So she's a character that's actually narrating the sum of the story. But then another chapter might be the detective who's sort of involved in the case. And it also jumps back and forward in time, which Moriarty is also really good at doing too.
Yeah.
So you kind of are building a picture of the story as you go in the present day and like 20 years ago or, you know, a year ago. And so it seems really kind of grippy and interesting. I haven't finished it yet. But
has it been getting good write-ups? So you're not expecting to get to the end?
No, it's like, getting great write-ups.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's very classic Moriarty. And
do you think that she is in danger of, and bearing in mind I've never read any of her books, I have seen some of her shows, which I really enjoyed. Do you think that it could become like a, like lean on too many of the things that she's familiar with? Do you think that's a,
or
do you think they're varied enough?
No, I think they're very varied. Yeah, good. Even though they're often set in suburbia, they're not always.
Yeah, right.
And I think the interesting thing about Leanne is that from, you know, maybe 10 years ago even, she would have been thought of as chick lit writer,
yes,
in inverted commas, right? And chick lit, for want of a better term, is like literature that isn't that serious.
Yeah.
You know, and it's treated
in that
way. I mean,
what is serious? That's the
but that's what I
mean. Saying,
yeah, it's treated as kind of like puff, like soft writing.
Yeah.
It's not like big serious books about war and,
oh,
you know,
I love books about
like
World
intense,
War II.
You know?
I love books about Winston Churchill.
Yeah, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And I think our thinking, and it still has, I think, there is still an element of it around, but I think our thinking has moved forward now to understand that maybe a story is set in suburbia and it's about the stories of women's lives, right? Because
sure.
her main characters are primarily always women. But that doesn't make them soft stories. That makes them stories about relationships and family dynamics and family breakdown and mental illness and mental health and domestic violence and that kind of stuff that happens intergenerationally amongst families is actually at the very core of our
everything, isn't it?
Yeah, it's everything, right? It's everything. Like, no matter where you live and what background you're from, everyone has complex families with complex dynamics because we're human beings. And so they're human stories. It's just they're told from a women's perspective. And so I think they're being taken more seriously. And you can see that in the weight that and success of shows like Big Little Lies.
Yes.
Anyway, rant done, but I really recommend it. And heads up, tag, Christmas present would be a good Christmas present for someone in your life who likes to read.
Chicklet, you mean? Yeah. Am I right, boys? More like Star Wars, a serious thing.
All right. Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly. Buttons on a ship don't work, mate.
It doesn't even make any sense.
It doesn't. I'm so angry.
Well, do you know when they filmed the first Star Wars, right? The original Star Wars, Star Wars 1.
Yes.
This is interesting, I feel. When Harrison
My brain is flatlined.
Harrison Ford's a pilot, right? You know that in real life, right?
Yeah. And I think, in real life?
Yes. He's crashed planes like multiple times.
Really? Tell me more.
Anyway, so this is interesting.
Wait, keep telling me.
Anyway, so when he got onto the ship, because he had an interest in aviation even in 1976 when they filmed it, he wanted to have sex,
but then he said, it's too dirty in here. There's no buttons.
He'd do it. He doesn't care. But he'd cheat on his wife on the set of Star Wars with Carrie Fisher, which he did. Anyway.
Didn't know that.
That's true. Anyway, so he gets on, he's like, to George Lucas, he's like, what is any of this? How do I fly the ship? He's like, I don't know, just press whatever. It doesn't matter. Just come in and just flick buttons and we'll go. But ever since he did that, he just improvised it. And every time anybody gets on that ship, they have to do the thing that he did just on the day. Just like, fuck, I don't know. So like now it's like locked into law. This just random nonsense thing that he just made up on the spot. But once something's established in Star Wars, you have to like strictly adhere to it. Otherwise people get very upset. You know what I mean? It's like, he should have flicked the thing and he didn't flick that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, my point is that Star Wars is dumb.
But you love it.
Some of it. That's okay.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I watched, finally, and this is a while back, I've been waiting to talk about it a couple of months back, the movie Boy, which is one of the early Taika Waititi movies. It was supposed to be the first movie they ever directed, but ended up being the second in 2010. So it's a New Zealand comedy drama. For those people who don't know, Taika Waititi has since gone on to, like more recently, he directed the last Thor movie and like kind of revitalized that character, and he's also doing the new one. He also did what's the Nazi Germany one where he plays Hitler in Jojo Rabbit.
Which one am I thinking of? There's another one.
You might be thinking of Inglourious Bastards.
Correct.
Or Fury.
But
the little boy and he's got Hitler as an imaginary friend or whatever. It's terrific. Yes. So anyway. This one is set in 1984 in New Zealand, and it's like a large part of it is based on his experiences growing up. So it's about a New Zealand youth played by James R. Rolleston finds out his father, who's played by Taika Waititi, so he plays like a version of his own, like an exaggerated version of his father, is a far cry from the heroic adventurer he always imagined the man to be. So he's this guy, like, who he doesn't really have any kind of memories of or experiences with, or is very few kind of rolls back into his life. And at first it's like, oh, this is awesome. My dad's so cool and whatever. And he's like, he has all these like sequences, like, sorry, imaginary moments. You've seen it, right? Where he thinks he's like Michael Jackson or this amazing like street tough kind of gang fighting kind of dude. Where in reality he's like a very damaged kind of buffoon of a man who's also got his own personal traumas. Do you know what I mean? That he's never kind of really dealt with. So it's a large part of it is about the perception of kind of the people that raise you and how you see them growing up and how that kind of evolves over time. And obviously, like, one of the big part of growing up is seeing that your parents as human beings, and this kind of leans into that quite a bit. This is more in terms of, like, what a disappointment like his dad like really is to him deep down. But I think, yeah, everybody experiences that on some level. Do you know what I mean? Like the realization that your parents are flawed and don't know everything and I think it's something that, you know, I kind of dread also happening when our kids grow up as well. But like when they hear this, if they'd ever listen back and be like, oh my God, he's an idiot. But I think I loved it. I mean, I can't believe it had taken me this long to see it. Like it was always something I'm like, I need to watch this movie. And it was terrific. It was as good as – I think it's – I don't know if it's his best movie, but it's certainly up there. And it's interesting because these movies are they're all so varied, so really different. Like if you look at this and then you look at Thor and then you look at like Jojo Rabbit and then he's also done it. Like he's done What We Did in the Shadows. Have you seen that?
Yeah, the vampire movie.
Which is just
movie.
Like an hysterical
crazy.
Movie.
All the,
so funny.
Into the, what's the one with Sam Neill?
Samuel Neill.
You know Sam Neill?
Oh, Hunt for the Wilder People.
Thank you. Oh my yes. gosh, my brain. Hunt for the Wilder People.
I guess this movie, like that movie, is a very New Zealand focused story. And like in particular, like the indigenous kind of culture of New Zealand and also like the kind of the what's beautiful about it and the family element of it and the people, but also how that is also coming up against like modern like sensibilities and people that have been like same was here and same with a lot of other countries, like the country has been colonized, you know what I mean, by Europe essentially. So that's like that's not a main part of it, obviously, but it's like it's very much kind of a background
set
kind
in
of
that world, that context. Yeah.
And I just there's only one movie of his I haven't seen now, which is his first one, Eagle versus Shark, which I should go back and watch also. And also, What We Do in the Shadows is now a television series as well, which I saw the first episode of. That I don't know if it's on anything here, but I need to go back and.
Yeah. Did it really have good. Well did Boy do? I feel like it won some awards.
It did. It was the highest grossing New Zealand made movie in New Zealand, I believe, like the week it was released. I think it went to Sundance and a bunch of other stuff. And also a year after that he played Ryan Reynolds' best friend in the movie Green Lantern 2011. And then he was in the movie Free Guy with Ryan Reynolds also, which came out 2021.
Gosh, he's so clever and funny.
Yeah.
And isn't he a character in a film like a robot or something? Is that in Thor?
Yeah, he's Korg. He's like a big – he's also in the Avengers movies, second Avengers movie, I think. But anyway, he's like just a big like rock man kind of, and he based him off like the giant like really friendly Maori people that he knows, you know what I mean? Like dudes that are just enormous but like really like friendly kind of
– and lovely.
Friendly, like soft kind of guys but also could – crush your head if they wanted to, kind of thing. He's just what a talent. You know what I mean?
Oh, completely.
Amazing. And I love his interviews and stuff because if you've ever seen any interview with him, he has come from this world which is so, like, different than, you know, anything that I think most people, I'm including myself in that obviously, have experienced. And so he has this huge, like, depth of character. And he's also incredibly funny. So it's like – he can be incredibly poignant and incredibly funny and he can switch between the two like quite easily. And you see that in his movies and you see that with him like in person as well. He's like – he's a very silly man, which I really, really love about
him. Like childlike in a way. Completely. And, you know, that's my favorite type of film that walks that line, which is why I loved Hunt for the Wilder People so much, because it's immediately hilarious and then also heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Which I think is life, right?
Totally.
Like life is just endlessly hilarious and also – will bring you to your knees and heartbreaking or poignant.
Beat you around there with a broken bottle. Yeah.
But, you know, like sometimes in the darkest times I've had in my life, there have also been some of the funniest moments that have happened during that time. So I love films that walk that. I think that's a really hard thing to do. I think Judd Apatow can do that
definitely
too with his writing as well.
Yeah.
And, yeah, oh, Taika Waititi.
That's why I love This Is 40. Awesome. I think that's
It's
my favourite movie of his. Maybe it's not everybody else's.
Paul Rudd in that movie is basically
one of the greats.
Your spirit animal.
One of the greats.
I've already said this on the show, but I was researching something about that film and Judd Apatow said that moment in the film where Paul Rudd's on the toilet on his phone was like the first time anyone had that depicted in a film.
Yeah.
And it got like some of the most feedback.
I think they put it on like all the posters and stuff as well maybe.
Yeah, because it just is like. And I get that at the moment in lockdown, like going to the bathroom is like a tiny window of alone time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, I don't know what if we're going to actually go and drive somewhere and fall asleep in our car.
We might. We'll keep you posted. We'll let you know next week.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's on the edge of your seat. Your second
all right,
thing?
So again, Christmas present recommendations from this woman. I know. So this is something that you bought me for my birthday, actually, which was awesome. So it's an Instax Fujifilm printer.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was not even my idea.
Yeah, no, it was our son's idea,
yeah,
right?
Who gave it to us from
another one of our friends who's so lovely. And she had one in her house and it's just so cool. She gave us this little image. So they're basically like a Polaroid kind of thing that you would see from like a traditional Polaroid, except that it's connected to your phone. So often we have all of these photos on our phones, but it's very rare that for us anyway, and I think most people are the same, for actually printing those photos out and having them. And so with this printer, you connect it to a little app on your phone. The one I got was called Mini Link, and it creates just like little images, prints them out, and then kind of creates all these little pictures of your life, like I guess an Instagram, but something you can hold. And they're gorgeous. They're really awesome. I was Googling ways to present them as well,
and
I found this stuff called washi tape. I don't know if you know what of course you don't know what washi tape is. It's like
never heard of it.
Tiny masking tape with beautiful patterns on it.
Oh, and no, I do know that.
Yeah, I think it might be Japanese. And you can just, it's used in crafting and, you know, all of that kind of stuff, scrapbooking. Okay. But you can make boards. This would also be a really good present for a teenager too, because you can make boards in your bedroom and pin them up on
things. I just think if someone was like, here's a roll of tape as I was a teenager, I'd be like, absolutely get fucked.
No, I meant the printer.
Oh, yeah, the printer, yes.
So the tape would be good as a good gift to go with it. And I also saw on Pinterest that people hung like little strings of lights that you can get from
Typo
or whatever. And then with little pegs, and people have pegged up their photos onto the strings of lights, which would make a really cool display in your kid's bedroom, I think.
Yeah.
Especially for a teenager. Yeah, and you can also buy albums from places like Etsy. And I've bought a set of albums, actually, that you can put them in as
well. Oh, cool, okay.
Just they're only like $10 or something.
I'm curious, though, as to, because it's a little Polaroid kind of thing. Like it's like half a Polaroid size, the printers, would you say? Like how do they fade like over time? What's the quality of them?
Yeah, I don't know.
In like 10 years, do you know what I mean? Because I know I think with some like cheaper Polaroids, they can like become like washed out and that over time. Is that?
Yeah.
Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I get a feeling it's very good quality because you do have to
I mean the printing stuff as well. Like, not the camera itself. Not the device itself. I mean the film stock that you print on.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. That's one of the reasons why I bought a little album specifically for them.
Mm.
I'm going to display some in our kitchen, but you can also get albums and then slot them into little pockets in the album, and that'll keep them for longer, I think.
That's cool because I think – and I guess it was always the case, like you have to really make a conscious effort to like print a physical photo now, which is also, I guess, it was the way it used to be as well. You'd always have to do that, you know what I mean? But I feel like it was more kind of the done thing, you know?
Yeah.
Where you'd go get your family photo and whatever.
But also you'd have to take your film in and you wouldn't even know what photo it was. And I kind of miss that in a way.
I don't miss it at all. I think it's lunacy.
Oh, well, I remember doing like the old sort of dark room.
Yeah, I did a bit of that as well.
I loved that, like kind of doing all of the way that you dip the photo into the different liquids and all that stuff. It was so fun. I loved that.
Scandal. Did you know my older brother, the one that Mason does like, when he did photography in 1 year in high school, somebody took his photo and presented it as their own. And he was like, that was mine. It was like a big deal.
Oh my God.
Stealing art and whatever and whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh no. What happened? Did they believe him?
The photo looked like shit. No, I don't remember. They did. It was his. Like he had the negative. Like it wasn't.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is how it could be, you know. Oh, you could still have the image on your phone now. But yeah, so it was very clearly his. It's also weird because it's like, it's photography. Like just take
a photo
of fucking anything. Like,
yeah. Maybe it was so good.
Take a black and white photo of a park bench or something.
I know you hated that stuff, but I loved it. I remember going around with my little camera on a school excursion taking photos, and I took this photo of this elderly woman in a fruit shop, which I was so proud of, and she was just so beautifully kind of manicured with this beautiful perm and this beautiful little hat. And you know when you see people kind of in their 80s and 90s and you feel like they look exactly like they must have looked in the 40s or 50s when they were just like, you know, in that fashion and the clothes are so beautifully looked after. I just remember, I've always remembered that photo. I was so proud of it.
You still have it?
No. Yes, I do somewhere. I think it's in a box somewhere in the roof at my parents' house because she was holding this basket of fruit and it just, I don't know. Anyway, this is boring. Sorry. But it was just something like just this little flash of memory of this beautiful woman. And I didn't really even know anything about her, but I remember I took it into the dark room and did all the things and you have to wait for a long time to see if it's going to work. And when it appeared, it was so beautiful. And I was just really like thrilled with myself. It was like, it was, yeah.
Do you ever wonder what year that woman died?
Jesus Christ. Right.
Because she's definitely dead by now is what I'm saying.
Well, lucky I took her photo and now I think it's in my parents' room.
Yeah. Of a woman whose name you don't know.
Okay, fine. It's creepy.
It's not creepy. It's great.
Anyway, I was really proud of it at the time.
At the time.
All right.
Should we wrap it up for this week, do you reckon?
Yeah, I think
We're not wrap it up. We've got a letter.
We do have
a review. Would you like a review from me?
Yes.
While you're looking for the letter?
No, I've got the letter, but go for it.
Need people. I'll do my thing because I need people to know. I need them to know. I demand that they know that they can review this in-app, and I work my way through the reviews. And this week we got one from Jane ID 12345. It says, five stars, thank you. I suggest this podcast. This is a nice podcast. I'm not very good at writing reviews. Just try it. So there you go. I think that is as business and professional as a review can get. It can be like that. It can be silly. It can be blank. It can be whatever. Every review and rating helps. Because this show does all right, doesn't it? I don't really look at the numbers. But does all right, doesn't it? I don't know.
It does all right. We have the best listeners in the world.
Wow. I don't like to pander to listeners because we don't know that for a fact.
Well, I do. I bet Joe Rogan has the best listeners in the world.
Joe Rogan has the best listeners
in
the world.
But no.
Because he tells it how it is.
Suggestible listeners, I'm telling you. I read the emails. Suggestible listeners are the best listeners.
That is true.
They're awesome. And they're always writing lovely things and sending us lovely suggestions. And I think they're the best.
Well, we don't really get kind of bizarre, aggressive emails where every now and then we'll get some to the Weekly Planet email, which to be fair, like Mason mostly go through. And it's like, fucking hell, that was insane. An insane person wrote that.
No, we honestly don't. We just get like really lovely emails from people with great suggestions and cool things. I've learned so much from listeners who write in. So
well, I haven't learned a damn thing. I'll tell you that much. So what's next? What do we got?
All right. So I have an email this week from Anthony Arcilla. Oh, Anthony says, hi from lockdown in Auckland. Love the podcast, even though I find James annoying sometimes. What I mean?
I do know what you mean. I get told that a lot.
I don't find you annoying.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, of course I do. We're married. That's part of the deal. I don't find you annoying at all.
It's a hell of a deal.
Anyway, let me get back to Anthony.
Sorry, Anthony.
Last week he spoiled Midnight Mass. I know, James, it's my fault.
I said it in the thing. I said very clearly multiple times that I'm going to spoil this.
I'm just becoming increasingly aware that I just said how lovely our listeners were. And now Anthony is taking
this guy's
a shot
coming at
you.
Me. And I was very clear. There were time codes in the description. Does he spoil it here?
No.
Okay, so yeah.
But it actually got me excited to see how the story would unfold knowing what the twist was.
Gotcha.
Great suggestion overall. Thanks, James. Still love you, but only sometimes.
Okay.
All right.
That's a bit of fun.
Yeah. Keeping in the theme of midnight, have you guys seen Midnight Diner? Have you seen that?
What is this? I think
it's centered around this small diner in Tokyo where the main character, the chef, only opens from 12 a.m. to 7 a.m. His policy is that he'll cook anything the customers want if he has the ingredients for the meal. Because of the opening hours, the diner itself attracts a bunch of misfits and most of the time misguided characters who all have pretty normal and relatable problems, just like us. Anyway, it's quite a down-to-earth and heartwarming show sprinkled with some Japanese humour. It has new stories and characters and even a different dish showcased every episode. My wife and I have been loving the series and we think you will too.
This looks cool.
Doesn't it sound awesome? Where's it on?
That's on Netflix. It started in 2009. There were three seasons. They have 10 episodes each and there's 2009, 2011, 2014. So they don't churn these out. And then there's Midnight Diner Tokyo Stories, which started in 2016 and there's been two seasons and another season in 2019.
This sounds really interesting.
It does sound great. I'm totally going to check this out. Thank you so much, Anthony.
It's got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh, it sounds so good. Do you know what it reminds me of? We went to Tokyo when I was pregnant and we went to these like, and I couldn't drink anything, but we went to these like tiny little bars. Yeah, do you remember? Where they only fit maybe three or four people in at a time. I love Tokyo.
Tokyo's fucking amazing.
I thought you just look so depressed then. It was just because
we can't go back to Tokyo right now.
It was so cool, wasn't it?
Oh, man. Japan in general, my God.
It was awesome.
What a place.
I know. Also, it was for us the biggest legend's wedding as well, which was like awesome.
Who, me?
No. Our friend Dave.
Oh, yeah. Our friend Dave.
The best. Mm. Yes. Anyway.
Do you reckon he's listening to this?
Possibly. Hey, Dave, you're the best.
Hey, Dave, fuck you. That's just the day, though.
We never call him Dave.
No, it's not his name.
No.
But just so people know, and if your name is Dave or David or any variation, that's not for you. That's for our friend Dave.
We never call Dave.
We never call Dave. That was specifically for him.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I miss that guy. Why doesn't he live in Melbourne anymore?
I don't miss him, Claire. I'm glad he's dead.
He's not dead.
Oh.
God, you're in a real mood today. Goodness. I'm with Anthony. Sometimes you're annoying. Anyway, Anthony says, that's all. Keep up the good banter. P.S. Can I be the official police officer of the pod?
Hells yeah.
Oh, wait, wrong podcast.
That's our other podcast. Correct. I think we also have an official police officer of the other podcast.
We totally do. Did I read you the letter from the listener who was in a submarine?
No.
I forgot to read
Shit,
that.
What? Excuse me?
Oh.
Hello?
Okay. Right. I'm going to save it. For next week.
Oh, come on.
No, it was so bloody awesome.
All right.
Yeah, because yes. Oh my God, I forgot to read you this.
All right, we'll do it next week. I'm gonna put it.
All right.
I'm gonna
put
it in my notes.
It was after I finished watching my submarine mystery show.
And they wrote in and were like, "I don't live on a submarine." You didn't read that, right? I don't think you did. I'd remember that.
I don't think so. It's such a good email.
Let me write this in. I'm gonna just put it in submarine email. Put it in my notes.
All right, it's so good.
Cool.
Anyway.
Finally, something to look forward to in my dreary as shit week. Okay.
What about our day out tomorrow where we can drive around in our car and possibly go for a walk in a park?
Maybe I could bring, we could bring a picnic rug and a pillow and I'll just fall asleep in the grass somewhere.
Yes. Is that different to the car? Depends on how wet it is.
It's raining tomorrow.
It's raining tomorrow.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Maybe we can drive somewhere, sit in silence on our phones.
Incredible.
With some snacks.
Maybe I won't go anywhere. I'll just lock myself in the toilet. My phone.
It's your favorite place.
I'll just scroll through my YouTube comments and be like, why do I have this app? I should delete this fucking app. Why is it so terrible? Why do I do this to myself? Because, it's got that thing I've shown you where it's like it tells me how my latest video is doing.
It's like, really mean.
It's like, this video sucks. It doesn't give you any advice either. For those people who don't know, if you've got a YouTube channel, it compares your newest video to the last 10 videos. But so it's like where it ranks. So often it'll be like, this video is actually performing 9th out of the last 10 videos. And it's like fewer people are choosing to click on it. But it doesn't like give you any like suggestion. And if it does well, because my latest one, which is on The Amazing Spider-Man, it's like it's number one and it's just like, this is really good. More people are enjoying this video. How? Okay. Like, great. What am I even doing with this information? It's awful.
Anyway. I'm so sorry. Your life is a series of challenges.
Yeah, it's just like depressing. I don't like it. I should delete it. Ruins my life.
Should delete
Stupid
it.
Stupid YouTube dashboard. No, because I gotta be on top of things, I guess. I should delete it. Anyway, let's go. What am
All
I
right.
doing?
All right. Bye. No, have a good week. Bye, everybody.
Would I just talk for like 5 minutes about a YouTube dashboard?
Yes, you did. Jesus. I tuned out.
Good.
But, I'm sure someone appreciated it.
I doubt it. Especially Collings, who edits these, is probably like, oh, God.
Oh, yeah. And thank you as always to Raw Collings for editing this week's episode. Oh, guys, we'll fill you in on our adventure out.
We'll let you know.
The house tomorrow.
All right, goodbye.
What will we do?
I got to do a Nord dad spot or something.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I mean, if you want, it's up to you.